Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 18th day of February 2021. And I, like many in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, were very saddened to hear about the death of Rush Limbaugh yesterday. And he has certainly been an inspiration to many people involved in radio, especially those who shared his conservative views on many issues. And we who are involved in radio could only dream to develop the gifts that he possessed and the loving embrace that he received from so many millions of people in his audience, the loyal, devoted, faithful listeners that he had developed over the years. And it is truly sad, but it is such a blessing to know that he made very credible professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives me the utmost of confidence that he is now spending an eternity with that Lord God, Savior, and King. And remember, folks, and I'm sure that most of our listeners are fully aware of this, but being conservative doesn't get you into heaven. Being pro-life doesn't get you into heaven. And being correct on many political and social and moral issues does not get you into heaven. You need to be covered by the blood of Christ and be putting all of your trust in his death and burial and resurrection in order to have his righteousness imputed to you. And that's the only way that any of us will enter into glory. So I trust that Rush Limbaugh will be somebody that we meet up there in glory when that day comes for us. And we ask of you to pray for the Limbaugh family at this time. And may Rush's brother, David, who is a believer, minister greatly to the remainder of the family, especially those who are not yet truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we have a guest that I haven't had on in quite a long time. It's been far too long. It seems every time I approached him with an invitation, something providentially was going on in his life that prevented him from accepting my invitation. And the most recent thing was that he had COVID, which had him shut down for a while. But I am so delighted that I finally got word from my guest today, Dr. Joseph Lissardo, that he can join us today as my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is a former elder in a large charismatic messianic congregation in New Jersey who earned his PhD in molecular biology of cancer at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx, New York, where he remained as a researcher until answering the call to ministry and planting a Reformed Baptist congregation, which is also a cessationist congregation, Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. And today we are going to be addressing the theme, A Call to Servant Leadership. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after a long absence, Dr. Joe Lissardo.
to be with you. I know it's been God, it's got to be a 3 years at least, I think. Maybe even more. But it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to have you here, I should say, as well, yeah. Brother. And why don't you tell our listeners about Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey?
Bread of Life Fellowship is in Wayne, New Jersey, which is in Passaic County in North Jersey. And we are a congregation of believers in the Reformed doctrines, the doctrines of grace. We come together every Sunday at noon and have been blessed in, as far as our being able to meet even amidst all of the COVID restrictions, because we have quite a large gym. So with the capacity number of the gym, we easily are able to meet together without having to have multiple services or anything like that. So that's been a real blessing for us. We're at 1559 Hamburg Turnpike in Wayne, New Jersey. And again, we meet at noon on Sundays.
Great. Well, if anybody wants further information about Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey, where Dr. Joe Lusardo is the pastor, go to bolfellowship.org, B-O-L for Bread of Life Fellowship.org, bolfellowship.org, and I hope to remember to announce that later. Well, this is quite an interesting topic that you have requested that we discuss today. A call to servant leadership. To some folks, that might even sound oxymoronic. Obviously, if it does sound oxymoronic to folks, they haven't really studied the life of Jesus Christ very well, because he was obviously the perfect, the ideal, the premier servant leader that all those who are in leadership should espouse to be like. In fact, we all, as Christians, should espouse to be like Jesus Christ, no matter what our role or status or function in the body of Christ is. But tell us specifically what compelled you to want to discuss this today.
Well, I think it's something that is an important thing for us to consider, especially myself being a pastor, something that comes up from time to time. What is my responsibility and my role toward the congregation? And you know, we live in a culture that just exalts self and exalts specific giftings to the point where it more resembles the world than it does the teachings of Jesus. Jesus specifically said when he washed his disciples' feet on the evening of that Passover, that last Passover, that he said, "I do this for you as an example, and you ought to do likewise." And he says, "Blessed are you if you do these things." So we have a responsibility as leaders in the Christian community to lead the way that Jesus set the example for us. And Jesus taught very clearly on the subject of leaderness. Of leadership and greatness, and what true greatness in leadership is.
So when a man believes he has been given the call by God to enter into specifically a leadership position in the church, although, as I hinted at, this information today really it surpasses the limitations of just pastoral and diaconate roles in the body of Christ. But for the sake of our time restraints here today, we will primarily be focusing on church leaders, and even parachurch leaders for that matter. What are the specific elements that a man should be prepared to have a part of his life and character, have as a part of his ministry, hallmarks, things that will make those that know him see his servant characteristics as being something that are vivid, are clear, are vibrant, are things that when they describe these leaders to others, perhaps not even in the presence of these leaders, these qualities of a servant may bubble up out of them as they joyfully describe these leaders, if they are actually fulfilling that role of servant leadership. What would be some things that would set apart a servant leader from someone else who may have leadership qualifications, but someone might be hard-pressed to call him a servant leader?
Well, I would say that we need to examine and see the way that Jesus taught and led by example himself. There was the example of where one day Ma Zebedee, the mother of James and John, came and thought that greatness was going to be manifested by the best seats in the kingdom. She wanted her sons to have the best seats next to Jesus in the kingdom, and Jesus took that opportunity as to teach about the very different nature of leadership. In Matthew chapter 20, when she comes to him and he says, "What do you want?" She says, "I want my two sons to sit at your right hand and at your left." So there's an indication there that greatness in the kingdom or leadership in the kingdom is associated with a seat of honor. This is something that the scripture warns of. Be careful of taking the seats of honor. Rather, you know, sit in the back and until you're invited up to the front. Well, in the same way, Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. And later on, when the rest of the disciples kind of hear this conversation, they become indignant. And that's when Jesus teaches about the difference between worldly leaders and godly leaders. And he says, you know that the rulers, this is in Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But then he says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And then he uses himself as an example, and he says, even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. Yet today, leadership and greatness, when people think about fame when they think about leadership and greatness, they think about fame, they point to specific titles, the church size or the church income, or the number of Twitter followers you have, or podcast rankings, or big book deals with major publishers. And these are sure signs of greatness in leadership. There seems to be, on the part of humanity, this appetite, this insatiable appetite of this kind of affirmation. And it comes out even in social media when we look at how many likes we have or how many friends we have on Facebook. And this just kind of feeds in to pride, especially among young pastors or those who are studying in seminaries to be a pastor. We want to be sure that as we're training these young people, that it's not in the ways of the world. It's not about climbing ladders of success where they finally feel they've arrived with a certain number of followers, or they reach the top job of senior pastor, or pastor of preaching, or pastor of vision. You know, this idea, finally, you know, I can live my life, and I can get the microphone in my hand, and I can tell everyone else how to live their lives. You know, there's quite a difference between that and the kind of leadership that Jesus exemplified in his life, as well as taught in his teaching. That kind of attitude actually is dangerous, because if you're in a place where you only want to hold the microphone so that you can have influence in each other, in another person's life, it could be very dangerous. The scripture says, especially of pastors, that we're going to give an account for the souls we lead, and that's quite a frightening prospect. It's not something you march into or climb up into without counting the cost. But when we understand the greatness that Jesus defines, it's a whole different thing. It's nothing, the greatness or the leadership that Jesus describes is not one that pleases the flesh at all. In Matthew 23:11, he says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." And servant is actually a word to describe leaders more than the word leader is in the New Testament. We find the word servant, God's ministers, most often described as servants, not leaders.
In fact, isn't the word deacon in the New Testament Greek, Koine Greek, actually mean servant?
Yes, amen. Yes, absolutely.
And yet they are considered leaders in the church. Of course, you and I believe in a polity that has only two offices, elder, which is the same as a pastor, and even the same, according to different translations, it's the same thing as a bishop or an overseer, although we don't typically use those words. And deacon is the second, and yet both are different levels of leadership in the church. And yet the very word for the diaconate is servant. It's
right,
quite interesting.
Right. And it's not to say, Chris, it's not to say that leadership is not important in the functioning of the body of Christ. I mean, even that word that you mentioned, episkopos or overseer, there is a role of oversight that pastors have. But leadership is never seen as a title, but rather more seen as a service to the body of Christ.
Now, one of the things that is a touchy issue, and I might even offend people, some people that are listening, but there seems to be an uncomfortable balance that needs to be made.
Mm-hmm.
In the body of Christ, where on the one hand, a man who views himself as a servant leader should not have such a proud and lofty view of himself that he refuses to pick up a mop and clean a bathroom. He refuses to mow the church lawn and things like that. But at the same time, if a church, especially if it's large enough to have a diaconate, one might say that he shouldn't be taking away from other infinitely more important roles that he has that involve caring for the flock. He shouldn't be doing those things. So there is a tension there that a church should be making sure whenever it is financially possible, and whenever it is possible involving the number of people and able-bodied men are in a church, that they should be making sure that although your pastor is not too high and mighty and lofty to mow a lawn, if it is all at all possible for him to be using his time far more often and a far greater percentage of his time to studying, to preparing for sermons, to visiting the sick, and those things that are truly a part of a pastoral position that are not typically things that can be done by any member of the church. Of course, every member is called to visit the sick and so on, but there is a unique,
right.
There's a unique place for a pastor doing that.
Exactly. In Ephesians 4:11-12, Paul gives the role of the shepherds and the teachers in the church, or the pastor teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And this has to be the priority, of the pastor, to equip the saints. We see it, by example in the book of Acts, where the apostles are every day in the temple and from house to house, teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ. And then we see also by example in this balance, to lend balance, in Acts chapter 6, where the disciples are increasing in number, and there's this complaint that comes against the Hebrews that their widows are being neglected. So the apostles gathered together, the disciples, and they say in Acts 6, verse 2, they say, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, that immediately we think, well, wait a minute, you just talked about serving. Isn't this saying are you saying that it's better to preach the word than to serve tables? Well, not at all. It has to do with roles, and it has to do with a specific purpose. The apostles were called to go and preach the word. So as a result of that, the church gathers together and they pick out 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and they then appoint this responsibility of service to these 7 men, and the apostles then can devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. This is often applied and assumed to apply to pastors and deacons, although nowhere are these 7 men referred to specifically as deacons, nor are pastors apostles. So you have to be careful of that one-to-one correlation there. But there is a prototypical example there that leaders in the church have of prioritizing the ministry of the word. Ministry of the word includes preaching, public preaching, as well as private discipleship and things of that nature, equipping the saints through public and private instruction of the word, not merely preaching from the pulpit, but also making disciples of others, training faithful men, things of that nature.
Now, if you and I are going to be honest, we have been Reformed Baptists long enough to know that although we would never dare to want to broad brush our own people, and there are many, many, many fine examples of humble servant leaders who are Reformed Baptist pastors, and I would even include my own at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and I'm not just saying that because I'm afraid of being put under church discipline or something. But you and I know that, unfortunately, and I think, and I could be wrong, but I think things in this area have nationwide improved for the better dramatically over the years because of certain unfortunate incidents that have occurred, many incidences that have occurred in churches over the last few decades that have become infamous and notorious, involving extremely heavy-handed authoritarian elder rule that might even be rightly nicknamed a dictatorship. Even though I think that the things have improved, don't you think that we who are Reformed have to really put the spotlight on ourselves when it comes to either repenting of or the prevention of leaders who do not demonstrate the qualities and the characteristics of servants?
Oh, absolutely. There needs to be accountability in this area. I think it's broader than just Reformed Baptists, at least in most Reformed Baptist churches, although there might be certain personalities that kind of rise to the top. Most Reformed Baptist churches do have at least a plurality of elders. There ought to be some internal accountability. Many Reformed Baptist churches are also congregational, so there's also the role and function of the congregation in keeping the elders accountable. But if you go back a generation, you look back even into fundamentalism, you see the rise of the single pastor, the Moses model, the unaccountable leader who's the top of the pyramid. You know, he has his couple of guys, his assistants who he works with, and then, you know, there's kind of this trickle down and the congregants never really even get to know the pastor in some of these mega churches. That's a very dangerous model. And anytime, regardless, someone calls himself Reformed, or Calvinistic or whatever, if we follow that model, we're taking a bad page out of fundamentalism that we do need to really repent of and change. And that's something that I think still sticks in some Baptist circles.
Yes. And might I quickly add that I believe you know some of the same men that I know that are not a part of the stereotype of independent fundamentalist Baptists, where you have a one-man pastor polity that has become like a dictatorship. Now, they may have a one-man pastor polity with only deacons below them, but there have been some, I'm just going to say a name, who so beautifully, I think, fits this realm or this description of servant leader, and that would be Vinnie Sawyer. Do you know Vinnie?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you knew Vinnie. He used to be the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Corona, Queens, New York. And now he is.
Oh, okay.
He's pastoring Victory Baptist Church in Florida, and I can't remember the city right at this moment. But what a humble servant and precious man of God he is, from the fundamentalist background, and even having, as far as
I have heard of him. Yes, I was recently at a meeting in Queens, and his name actually came up now that you mention it.
Yes,
and there was a fundamental Baptist church in Corona, Queens. What was the name? What is his name? Vinnie Sawyer.
That's right.
Yeah, in Corona, and now he's in Florida. You say?
Yeah, I can't remember the city, but it's Victory Baptist Church. I just thought I'd throw that in there because I don't want us to be guilty of broad-brushing anybody.
Right.
But we have to go to our first break right now. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned in today, our guest today for the full 2 hours of the program is Dr. Joseph Losardo, who is pastor of Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey, a Reformed Baptist congregation.
and we are addressing a call to servant leadership. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Dr. Joe, we have a listener in Pinoca, Alberta, Canada. His name is Sikka Lee, S-I-K-K-E-L-E-E. And he has a question that I have to enlarge because the font on his email is so small. let's see here. He says, "Howdy, brothers. Could you also explain how servant-like leadership is balanced with a shepherd-like leader that may have to give a proverbial whack to a sheep here or there, or guarding against wolves and or false doctrine? Supposed my question boils down to, can a leader be too servant-like?" I will have you answer that first, but my gut reaction is he can't be too servant-like, but he can be too weak, which are not the same thing. But anyway.
Right. And I think that's the answer. Even when the sheep need a whack, you know, as he puts it, it's done from the heart of a servant. It's done from the heart's desire to want to see God's people grow.
By the way, never use the term whack with a guy with a last name Losardo. From New Jersey, no less. And let's just assume our Canadian brother is not speaking about physically smacking or hitting somebody.
Exactly. We don't make offers that you can't refuse as pastors. But we are, as shepherds, as Jesus said, the good shepherd of Psalm 23 has a rod and staff that rod and staff have a purpose of at times getting the sheep in line, and they're to be used by the shepherd. But it's still in the role of serving the sheep. I think sometimes people mistake being a servant, and this is a problem, being a servant with being weak, or being a servant with a lower class or a lower status. But Jesus said the exact opposite. He said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So the more that we are serving, the more that we understand that our ministry to the flock, including preaching the word, by the way, because in preaching, what we're doing in essence is washing the feet of our church, where the church goes through the week, picks up the grime of the world, they come to church to hear the word, to be cleansed by the word, and you're doing in your preaching a service to your community, to your church. The idea of being a servant in no way excludes needing to use the tools of the shepherd, or oversight of the flock, or leading the flock, or teaching. That's all part of our service to the flock.
You know, immediately when you were talking, answering Sikka Lee's question, immediately popped into my head the movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but I highly recommend anybody who has not seen it to see this movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Are you familiar with Hacksaw Ridge?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Hacksaw Ridge, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, is about the true military experiences of a true hero from history. His name was Desmond Doss, D-O-S-S. And he was in fact, he still may be living, I'm not 100% sure about that. But he was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Now, I'm not here to defend all the peculiarities of Seventh-day Adventism, although I do believe there are true Christians in that group. But he was someone who is a pacifist, and yet insisted on being enlisted in the armed forces when he was drafted. And even though he refused to carry a gun, he wanted to serve as a medic. And he wound up doing some absolutely amazing, bordering on the miraculous in appearance anyway, feats of heroism at great risk to his life. I mean, you got to see the movie to comprehend what I'm speaking about. Absolutely amazing feats of heroism, carrying people on his back to safety, one after another, and down a rope and down a cliff and so on. And there were his fellow soldiers that fought alongside of him, the real individuals who were interviewed at the end of the movie to support everything that was depicted in the film. So it wasn't just exaggeration for the sake of artistic license. But here was a man that was mocked and made fun of initially by those in boot camp who thought that he was basically a sissy. You know, he was a coward and all that because he had this conviction not to carry a firearm, but at the same time was insistent upon going into battle. And I this just popped into my head because even though certain qualities can defy stereotypes, that does not mean that if a person doesn't have this this personality that reeks of machismo, that this person is less courageous, less heroic. In fact, he may be even far more those things than somebody who does reek with machismo, because that may be a cover for actual weakness and cowardice. But do you follow where I'm coming from? That go ahead, and I'll just quickly say there are certain traits within the life of a faithful Christian that are wrongly viewed by those observing them as weakness. Like, for instance, I'm sure that every young man, especially, I mean, I'm sure this happens to young women in this day and age, especially as well, but especially every young man who is growing up in a Christian home and has interaction with unsaved young men his age is going to be mocked relentlessly if he refuses to have premarital sex with a girl, and might even ironically be accused of being a homosexual when the Christian himself believes that that's a damnable sin. So that's just basically, I guess that's why that immediately popped in my head, that as the old saying goes, don't judge a book by its cover. But if you could follow up on that.
Yeah, I think that certainly an example, a human example, of ultimately pointing to Jesus himself in Matthew 20:28. He talks about how the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Then right after that he says, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the most heroic act, in the history of humanity, Jesus Christ going to the cross, giving his life as a ransom to save his people from their sins, is linked to Jesus' act of service as a suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 53 describes this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But yet we also know that Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's described in Revelation as having eyes of fire. So there's no disconnect there. There's not like the Jewish people of old would think that, well, there's one Messiah who is Ben David, the king, and there is one Messiah who is Ben Joseph, the one who suffers. No, he's in one person. He's both the servant who came to serve, as well as the one who gave his life as a ransom for many, and he's also coming back as a triumphant king. And he is to this day, he is our king. He's the king of his people. So we see that example in Jesus Christ.
By the way, this is not a question, but it is a listener comment from Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He says, fun fact, did you know that the person who first turned me on to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was Pastor Joe Lusardo?
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Interesting. You know, it's funny, Chris, as I was listening to your ads, I heard the one for Hope Reformed, and it reminded me the very first time I was on your show was with Pastor Jensen. And Jim Capo was your co-host that day. We were over at that little
WNYG in Babylon, yes. Long Island.
Yes, Babylon. Okay, I knew it was South Shore, Long Island. Yeah, Babylon, Long Island. Brought back great memories. It might have been 2005, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that was the first year I was airing. That's when I launched the show.
Wow.
And I've got to visit that building, see if it still exists and functions as a radio station. I would love to bring a lot of memories back walking in there, if indeed they have kept things the way they were, because even though I didn't start hosting that show until 2005, their equipment was going back to the 1950s and 60s. That was a real old-fashioned radio station. But we have to go to our midway break right now. And if you have a question, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Please be patient with us, because this is the longer than normal break we have in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to air their own public service announcements and other local things by the requirement of the FCC to localize this program and all of their programming to Lake City, Florida, geographically. So while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So I'm asking you to use this longer break wisely. Please try to write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. That will further ensure that our advertisers will remain our advertisers, and that will further ensure that we as a program remain on the air, because we absolutely, positively depend upon our advertisers and the finances that come through their advertisements to exist. If our advertisers all were to stop advertising with us, in fact, if just a few of them that are primary advertisers were to stop advertising, we would go off the air. So please try to patronize our advertisers as much as possible. And when you can't actually patronize them, purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, at least contact them with the information they provide in their ads and thank them for advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way to know that you appreciate them and their use of their hard-earned money to keep us on the air. And also, as I said, send in a question to Dr. Joe Lusardo to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a primary, a vital sponsor of this broadcast. If they were to cancel their advertising with us, we would very likely go off the air, barring a miracle from God financially. So please thank them if you love the show and want us to stay on the air. Thank them for sponsoring this show. And also, I want to thank you, the listeners, who have been purchasing many books from solid-ground-books.com. Many of you have been purchasing many books, And I've been hearing the reports back from Mike Gaidosh at solid-ground-books.com, where perhaps even particularly in recent weeks, the sales have gone through the roof from our audience, from people who specifically told him when placing their order that they heard about solid-ground-books.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I want to thank all of you who have been taking seriously my urgings for you to patronize solid-ground-books.com, and also for remembering to tell them that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which is a very important element whenever you're patronizing one of our advertisers. Always remember to tell them where you heard about them. And so just remember, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com. You'll be doing them an enormous favor, too, because they publish nothing but the finest and most theologically sound and Christian literature from the past and the present. You can never go wrong, truly, when purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to Dr. Joe Lusardo, our guest today, and our discussion on A Call to Servant Leadership, just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, folks, going back to what I was just saying about our urgent need for financial support, if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please help us financially if you can. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can send checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's at the very least compatible with what I believe, then send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And I always try to remember to remind you every day, and I know this is repetitive and it's annoying perhaps to many of you, but I want you to remember that I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local churches where they're members, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't curse your church financially by blessing us financially. Please don't do that. And if you are really struggling to survive and giving to us would put you in further financial jeopardy or peril at this point in life, hold off, because those two things are commands, clear commands of Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money that's sitting in the bank collecting interest, or you have set aside for all the recreational reasons that you use some of your money, going to concerts, going to the movies, going out fine dining, or even going out to fast food places, going to Bible conferences, and going to your favorite sporting events, now that some of them are beginning to take place publicly in the midst of COVID restriction hysteria. Whatever it is that you use for recreational purposes, I am more than happy to take some of that money off your hands if you feel that, or should I say believe, that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is worthy of your donations. If you really love the show, you don't want it to disappear, please help us out. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a solid, theologically sound, Bible-believing church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may have a church or two right in your area on my lists, no matter where you live. I have helped people all over the world find churches sometimes within a few minutes from their own homes, that are biblically faithful. So please, if you are in that category of being in need of a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, "I need a church" in the subject line. And by the way, if you've already sent me an email like that requesting a church, if you haven't heard back from me, it may have fallen through the cracks due to more emails coming in on a daily basis from listeners. I apologize to you for that. So please just send me another email to remind me that you need a church. And if you've won a book or a Bible and you haven't heard from me, please let me know, because we've been getting a lot more emails than we used to get. So please remind me. And if you have a question for Dr. Joe Lusardo on the call to servant leadership, send it in to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And by the way, Dr. Lusardo, Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, but he beat me to the punch, but before I told him to send you an email, he said Dr. Lusardo helped me out with a survey I was conducting in grad school. He answered the survey and sent a link to Iron Sharpens Iron, on which he had just appeared as a guest. I don't know if that recalls...
It does. It's a glimmer, a vague memory, yes.
Well, thanks again for... If you want to communicate, by the way, with Dr. Lusardo, and that goes for everybody in the audience, he has been kind enough to provide his email address, info@bolfellowship.org, info@bolfellowship.org. If you, Ted, or anybody else would like to communicate with him after the show is over. That's not for questions for the show. That email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We are back now with our discussion on a call to servant leadership. I'm assuming that humility and the heart of a servant are such crucial elements of being an under-shepherd in Christ's church, an under-shepherd over Christ's flock. I remember one time a brother, when I referred to him as an under-shepherd, he said, "Brother Chris, I'm the pastor." I said, "Yeah, that's what an under-shepherd is." He thought that was some kind of diminished title. If a person believes he has received a call for this very important function in the church, if he doesn't have the qualities of servanthood, shouldn't he either wait until, by God's grace, he develops them, or just look for another vocation?
Yeah, absolutely. 1 Peter 5 gives some qualifications or qualities, and it's done willingly. You're shepherding. It's a desire in your heart. He who desires the office of an elder desires a good thing. So there's got to be a willingness and eagerness to can't do it for gain, he says, Peter, in 1 Peter 5, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So there has to be the desire to serve God's people. And if that's not in the mix of your heart in wanting to be a pastor, then yes, find another job. You could be a good, maybe motivational speaker. That might be a better job for you.
Yeah, but if you're a good motivational speaker, teaching people to be servants has got to be an element of...
Yeah.
I think the world has enough proud, arrogant, braggadocious people being further motivated. I've been to some of these self-help lectures. In fact, some of them were required of me as a salesperson when I worked for the largest Christian radio network on the planet Earth. And sometimes the things that we were being told were absolutely atrocious and non-Christian. Things like don't hang out with downers. If people are depressed and constantly whining and complaining about their struggles in life, just take them off of your friend list. Get them out of your life, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, we don't want people to remain perpetually complaining about things, but at the same time, if anybody needs the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ, it's people who are struggling with something that leads them to behave that way. Am I right?
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
So tell us some of the other specific ways, tangible ways, that those listening who might be already in the position of being a leader, a pastor, a deacon, or perhaps they have a church polity where they designate elders in a different category. There's all kinds of things that churches come up with these days, shepherd board and things that aren't really found in the scripture. And I apologize if I'm hurting the feelings of anybody listening. But what tangibly can they do when they, if they may be sitting here and they may be convicted by what you're saying, what can they tangibly add to their routines in life that would make them more deserving of being described as a servant leader?
I'd say it begins with a mindset. We kind of have to go into this understanding that Jesus' model of washing feet is what prepares a leader to lead. Because the church can't get away with the kind of thing, Chris, that they told you at the radio station. Because churches are messy places.
Well, actually, that wasn't the radio station. It was one of those motivational speaker events.
Motivational, yeah. It just doesn't work. The church is, there's a reason that the scripture describes God's people as sheep. Sheep are not the cleanest of animals. They need a shepherd to be led. Church leadership is a messy thing, and as much as we would like it not to be so, our congregations are not always going to be the well-behaved, submissive congregations that let us just kind of go on with our own plans and just go on and on. And I know what it's like. You know, you get an email from an upset member. It's Friday. You're in the middle of your sermon preparation, and that email kind of interrupts that, and you wish that those kind of things wouldn't happen, but they will, and they do, and pastors need to be prepared for these kinds of things. If we go into ministry with the expectation of being that we're nothing more than unprofitable servants charged with washing the dirty feet of our members, then it'll make even the difficult members, we'll see the difficult members as sheep, and it changes our whole philosophy. And I think that's really what we need, rather than seeing like specific things, because it's going to vary based on the size of your church. Like you mentioned, if you have a large church, you're not going to see the pastor setting up chairs or out in the parking lot bringing in traffic or shoveling or whatever. We have a smaller church, you might have to do those kinds of things. But so it's going to vary. But I think if the mindset that we have going in is that my main purpose here is to serve these people, even our preaching then becomes less about, well, me having influence in a person's life, but more about, hey, this member of the congregation needs to be washed with the word. There was a great blog, which I would recommend, by Costi Hinn, called Chasing a Title or Carrying a Towel.
Wow.
And it's real good. I'd recommend it. I think
maybe I got to have Costi back on the show to discuss that. He's been a guest on my program.
Yeah. It was excellent.
For those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that name, Costi Hinn is the nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn, the Word of Faith so-called healer. And Costi has thankfully repented of the Word of Faith heresies, and he is now in the pastoral ministry of a Reformed and Baptistic and cessationist congregation in Arizona. So he has got a remarkable story to tell, and he would not be at all insulted by me describing his uncle that way, because he is probably even more blunt about the issue than I am. He spends much of his time exposing the heresies of his own uncle and everybody in that ilk. But anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you there.
That's all right. That's all right. It lends some context to also why he's writing what he's writing, because he's in the midst of the kind of ministry that exalted men. So his blog is called Chasing a Title or Carrying a Towel. And among what he writes, about a 5-minute read, it's real rich and a blessing. He says, you don't need to see your impact to have an impact. And he writes about John the Baptist, who's locked away in prison. I think if John the Baptist were alive today, we would say, you know, he would have like the greatest Twitter following ever. But yet, he was content. He preached to many. I mean, he had quite a following, but yet he was content to say, I must decrease and he must increase. So Hinn goes on, he says, John the Baptist was locked in prison waiting for his head to roll, while Jesus, the Jesus he got to baptize, was adding disciples by the minute. Greatness is giving up what you could do for what you must do. And that's important that we understand that we're there to serve, whether someone is watching or not, whether someone is washing our feet or not. That's really what our calling is as leaders in the church. That's really what ultimately what Jesus said greatness is, stooping down, grabbing the towel, washing the disciples' feet, and proverbially washing this, serving the people that are we're given charge over.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I don't mean to be rude, and I hope this isn't off the subject, but I keep hearing you Reformed Baptists talk about the example that Jesus gave as in washing the feet of his disciples. I don't know of any Calvinists who do this other than the primitive Baptists. I only see this typically being practiced among the Wesleyan churches that I am very much familiar with.
Yeah. I guess he's talking about literally?
Yes.
Washing
feet? Well, that is obviously, that is an ordinance of some churches. He is, or she, I don't know which, is correct to say that the primitive Baptists do it. They, I don't want a broad brush, but primitive Baptists, although they profess to be Calvinistic, have some very hyper-Calvinistic views on a number of things. And actually, believe it or not, hypo-Calvinist views on some other things, like they don't believe that God is in sovereign control over all things that occur, but they have a tendency towards hyper-Calvinist soteriology, but that's not what we're talking about today. Why don't we do...
Well, I mean, it can be done. I mean, there's nothing. I was actually at a wedding once where the bride and groom literally took out a basin and towel and literally washed one another's feet. But Jesus is at the Last Supper. What he's doing is showing an example of being a servant. He says even after he does it, I mean, he shocks everyone by doing this, because this is not something that was typical on a Passover meal. There were washings, little ceremonial type washings where they would wash their hands. But what Jesus does is he takes this out of the realm of ceremony completely. So if we just follow the ceremony of foot washing as apart from the heart, it really is against what Jesus is doing. He takes it. The ceremony was to dip your hands in a bowl and then wipe it on a towel. But Jesus takes the bowl and he shocks the disciples. He goes up to them. He leans down and he takes the feet of the disciples. So much so Peter says, "Don't do this, Lord. You know, it's such a humiliating act. Don't do this, Lord." And then he gets up and he takes the opportunity to teach. And he says in John 13, he says, if you understand what I've just done, you call me teacher and you call me Lord, and that's right. But he says, if then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you this as an example that you should do just as I have done. Truly, he says in verse 16, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So it's not merely about the literal washing of feet. I would imagine in such a ceremony, most people would probably prepare themselves by washing their feet at home so that they wouldn't be embarrassed when it came to the literal physical foot washing. And foot washing then could be just a ceremony. But the kind of thing that Jesus is teaching here is this, what great leadership is being a servant in every area.
Yeah, I've heard.
Not about, yeah.
Well, you finish your thought. I don't want to have you lose your train of thought there.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
I have been told that foot washing was a common thing for servants to do in that geographical region of the planet, especially in that day and age, because people were walking around with sandals in the the desert and the dirt. But the thing that was remarkable and stunning was that someone of Jesus' stature, at least in the minds of those who were his disciples, obviously he didn't have a high stature in the minds of those who were his enemies, but for someone to be viewed as the Messiah or to be viewed as their spiritual leader to be doing this, that was what was shocking. And I've also been told, and you could agree or disagree and let me know, that if those that do it today, there is no cultural significance that resembles that in the foot washing of a present day church. In other words, like you were just basically hinting at, somebody in their clean suit takes off his shoes and clean socks and has somebody washing his clean feet, that there is no cultural ramification to that would actually involve humbling somebody that is washing the feet.
Right, exactly. But there are parallels that we can think of. Someone walks in and they have their coat, and you know, you take their coat to hang it for them on the hanger. Or I mean, I'm sure there are others that we can think of where we're genuinely taking on the role of a servant for the other individual. But it's really what it comes down to is it's the heart of service that we're talking about here. Do I do what I do as a pastor? What's the motivation for what I do as a pastor? Is it to that I might increase, or is it to see someone else increase, like John the Baptist did with Jesus? And this is a particular challenge for those that are particularly gifted in public preaching ministry. If you're a gifted preacher or teacher of the word, where there's even public pressure to want to exalt certain gifts of rhetoric, it requires on the individual's part a conscientious effort to be intentional about resisting that. Even at times taking on a backseat, taking on obscurity at times, supporting another person's ministry for the sake of the kingdom. I think of church planting as an example of this. The modern way of thinking is you grow your church as large as you can. And the more people that hear you preaching, the more people you influence, the better it is, the kingdom to grow. But church planting, taking a portion of the church that God has placed under your care and sending them out with another pastor is an example of this. Allowing people in your congregation who may be less gifted than you as a preacher, even possibly members. I know every church has different rules and regulations when that goes, but allowing them a place in the pulpit or a place to teach in Sunday school so that they can grow. All of this is about growing the kingdom of God. If we can't do that, then we're in a sense saying, I must increase. And then we're in danger where in any place where I must increase, we're in danger of Christ decreasing. We're also in danger of unintentionally creating idolaters in our churches because people follow men. Human beings have a propensity to follow men and follow gifted men in particular. So there's got to be an intentionality to this, where we are, as God gifts us, we are handing off those gifts and encouraging and training others. Otherwise, we'll grow to be in our 60s, 70s, or 80s, and there won't be a mentor. I mean, we would not have mentored anyone. We wouldn't have anyone to kind of take over when we go. So we got to be careful, especially with young people too, coming out of seminaries. With youth comes pride, and if they're placed into those positions too quickly or without first serving, you have the potential there of feeding pride, and certainly one thing we don't need is our pride to be fed.
Do you think that included in this conversation needs to be the caution that Christians need to have when partaking in genuine liberties that, for right or wrong reasons, the areas of liberty are viewed by others as either sin or just plain wrong, etc.? We have to be careful. I'll give you an example. In the Reform circles, and there are some unique denominations like the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America that has an abstinence rule, at least for the leaders. They don't believe in the consumption of alcohol in any amount. But most Reformed people believe it is a liberty. As long as somebody isn't getting drunk, it is considered a liberty to socially drink. And to socially drink anything, whether it's hard liquor or wine or beer, people like me who had a reputation of being scandalously and sinfully drunk after having backslidden after 18 years of sobriety after becoming a Christian, I know that I can never touch alcohol again. It would just be totally wrong to not only tempt myself to fall back into that wickedness, but it would also be just a horrible thing for people to witness if they knew my background. And the thing that has troubled me, and I know I'm probably going to offend a lot of my Reformed brethren, but it has troubled me for years watching in social media and even seeing on the websites of certain Reformed ministries and churches, people flaunting their liberty to drink alcohol and to talk about it excessively and adoringly. And I cannot help but get the impression that this is being done on purpose to insult fundamentalists and others that have a different view of that liberty than the person who drinks does. And by the way, folks, I'm not saying I don't believe Christians have a liberty to moderately consume alcohol. I do believe they do. I just know I don't. And I don't think that anybody who has had a history of a problem with it should ever partake in it again. It's not worth it. But am I making sense here? Or is the including this in the discussion appropriate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. One of the great ways, not specific for leaders, but for anyone in the Christian community, to not put up an unnecessary stumbling block before your brothers for whom Christ died. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11, it says, "For through your knowledge, the one who is weak is ruined, the brother or sister for whose sake Christ died." If you're flaunting your freedom, if God gave you a freedom, I always say, if God gave you a freedom, you partake of that freedom, but you do it privately, especially in areas where the church has historically differed over, for example, alcohol, smoking, things of that nature. And we all know great reformed pastors and preachers in the past who smoked cigars, for example. But, you know, there are brethren for whom Christ died who feel that, maybe we can argue they're misinterpreting the scriptures. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I say they are misinterpreting those scriptures, but nevertheless, they're my brother or sister, and I'm not going to flaunt a freedom that I might have on social media, no less, because think of the broadness of that audience that you have there on social media.
And it's interesting, as one who brought shame upon the body of Christ with my public drunkenness in the sight of unbelievers, it's interesting how nearly universally the unregenerate and the non-Christian, or the nominal Christian, you know, people who were born and raised in some kind of professed Christian denomination, but are really, don't even attend church or anything. There is an idea that seems to be almost universal that those who are truly born again, those who are true Christians, don't do that. You know, and it's an unnecessary stumbling block and a shock to these people who are, because they view you as nothing less than a hypocrite.
Yeah. 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 And we ought to be concerned, not so much for being mislabeled as a hypocrite, but more so for violating or ruining the conscience of the weaker brother in those situations. We don't want to be a stumbling block to the weak. And that certainly is a way that we serve one another.
Maybe I said that grammatically incorrectly. Nothing more than a hypocrite.
Right.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a much more brief break than the other breaks. But if you have a question, please send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joe Lissardo after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor,
author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and I wanted to clarify why I brought up being careful about flaunting your liberty in context of our theme today about being a servant leader. When you do something like that, you're not putting what is best for others as a priority. You're putting your own things that you love doing that may offend some, even if it's wrong that it offends them. We're not even... The Apostle Paul basically was saying in his day that there was nothing innately wrong with eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol, but he would never do it if it made a brother stumble. That was my whole point about servant leadership. We shouldn't view too highly our privileges and so on to the point where it does harm to others. And that leads me to another thing I think that ties into this subject, Dr. Joe. The area of church discipline. I can never thank my pastors, my former pastors, enough for placing me under church discipline when I wandered back into the serious and even damnable sin of drunkenness, habitual drunkenness. And there are many churches in modern evangelicalism today that out of a fear of looking like they are authoritarian, or perhaps they just don't want to lose members. They don't want to have their tithes and offerings diminish from people who leave those churches. And there could be a whole lot of reasons, but there are leaders that don't conduct church discipline at all. And at the same time, those from our backgrounds, those that are Reformed, they may be too quick to discipline people that are being disciplined over reasons that aren't even biblical. I mean, so, but this servant leader needs to be in the minds of both those extremes, because you are not serving or helping anyone when you're not disciplining them when it's necessary. I might be dead if I wasn't under church discipline because of the danger of what I was doing. And at the same time, you don't want to be harsh and proud and so on, and authoritarian when you discipline. If you could just take it up from there.
Well, I think you just said it very well, Chris. There's a balance. Unfortunately, like anything, people tend toward the pendulum, one extreme or the other. Church discipline is a gift that God gives to the church for the holiness of the church and for the repentance of individuals. So if you're keeping in mind that you're there to serve the church community and serve the individual in that church, you'll have a tremendous amount of patience, but you'll take the hard step of church discipline when it's necessary, because that's what serving that individual requires. Like you said, in your situation, you could have been dead had it not taken place. And God used men who took that difficult step, and it's not easy to go through a church discipline issue, but it affects the whole church, but it's part of serving both the community as well as the individual.
And I have to say this as well, and it may offend people, but shame on you if you are a pastor or a leader in a church where you are accepting runaways, as it were, for lack of a better term, people who flee a church where they've been under discipline legitimately, not in a cult or something. They are legitimately under discipline. They flee from one church to another, and they are welcomed with open arms, perhaps just because they want more seats filled in their churches, or they want that extra money in their tithing plates, collection plates. But it is a real serious problem that exists when pastors are fully aware of the background of the person who has fled one church and been welcomed with open arms. I even know of a situation where a man was excommunicated and then welcomed into the eldership of another church that was fully aware of all the circumstances.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you may disagree with the way another church handled a situation, but you'd better be absolutely sure that disciplinary action was not done properly before you start receiving members, let alone elders. I mean, you're asking for trouble when you do things like that.
Well, do you have a minute of summary that you could provide over this topic that you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners today?
Sure. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." You have the future tense there with the reflexive pronoun, humbles himself. So it creates a middle voice. It's something that we are called to do for ourselves, humble ourselves. The way up, very different from the way of the world. The way up is by decreasing, is what Jesus says. He who humbles himself will be exalted. This idea is completely otherworldly, completely alien from the ways of this world. And we need to understand, not be squeezed into the mold of thinking the way the world thinks of leadership, and truly take the way of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and himself was exalted. And that's the path that we're called to take. Ultimately, we are waiting to hear those wonderful, glorious words that every Christian is waiting to hear. Well done, good and faithful. What?
Servant.
Servant. So that's all of us. We're all unprofitable servants at the end of the day. May we live that out.
Amen. And read the life of Robert Murray McShane, such a fine example of this, who died at a very young age, 29 years old. But I want to just repeat your website. It's bolfellowship.org, bolfellowship.org, and Dr. Lusardo's email address is info@bolfellowship.org. I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest, Dr. Jill Lusardo. I look forward to your return and many occasions, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.